Hello, welcome to Evolve Park Drive Podcast, where we talk all things park drive, sales, apps, the park drive marketplace. My name is Bruce Bignall, and I own and run Evolve, the technology consultancy based in the UK, working globally. We specialise in helping businesses get more out of park drive and their wider tech stack through implementation, consultancy, and training. Today, I have the great pleasure to be joined by Arto Haho, the CMO at Trustmary. Trustmary is a platform that helps you collect feedback, reviews, and testimonials from your customers automatically. I'm really looking forward to this conversation with Arto today for a couple of reasons. One, because Arto is one of the individuals from the earliest days of Trustmary. As a co-founder, he knows the business inside and out, having worked across sales, customer experience, finance, and now in marketing. And two, because Trustmary is so easy to use, we actually implemented it ourselves after the first call that we had with the team. Plus, Trustmary is in a park drive marketplace for you to try out. And we have all the links in the description below for get your own personal demo and for you to try out the platform yourself. So Arto, welcome. Please can introduce yourself and Trustmary to our audience.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for the great intro. It sounded really good. Let's start with Trustmary. So 2016 is when we started the business, actually, with a video testimonial service. So that was kind of professional service. We actually produced high quality premium video testimonials. And then 2019, we started to transfer from video business to actually software business. And then 2019, we launched our Trustmary platform, changed the name of the business at the same time. And yeah, that's the track we are going at the moment. So 100% focusing on software business. And basically, like you mentioned, with Trustmary, you can collect customer reviews, customer feedback, add reviews to your website, improve conversions with the reviews, etc. So everything you need regarding customer reviews and customer feedback. And I jumped in right in the beginning when we started 2016, one of the co-founders, and experience from all of those different functions. So basically, I've done almost everything else, but not coding. So I'm not. Yeah. Touch that part, but really interesting journey so far.
Yeah, so we kind of touched upon this kind of beforehand about this being a night and day shift, right? So if we were to look at the core competencies of the business, would you say that you were great video editors at the beginning, kind of designers in that regard? And then what led to the software shift? Was it there's such a big addressable market that we can be helping people with here? What was the questions there, right? What was your core competencies in the beginning, and has that changed? And then what led to the shift to software?
Yeah, actually, we have been focusing on the same thing from the day one. So we want to build trust between your prospective customers and your business. So that has been our focus from the day one. And now we just have different tools for that. So our first tool was professional video testimonial service. And then actually our customers started to ask, like, okay, could we also get like short comments from those customers? And maybe could they also record videos by themselves?
Yeah,
because it's like 5,000 euro production when you do a professional video, and we actually go to meet the customer and interview and do the video, etc. So it's kind of expensive. You cannot do like hundreds of those, but with our software, you can collect them like hundreds or thousands with a smaller cost. So that's how we started transformation to or actually developed the software part as well. Then we did both of those at the same time for a while, and now it's 100% software because that can cover all the needs, basically.
Yeah, and that through line is about, I just wrote down building trust, and that's the whole point there. I might touch upon that a bit later, because I think that's so important. Certainly in B2B, and even more, maybe possibly more in B2C, right, from a decision-making standpoint and awareness piece.
Yeah, it actually doesn't matter if it's B2B or B2C, because always a human being like making a decision, and then they want to hear from other people. Like, can I trust what this company is selling, what their real customers are saying about themselves? So.
Yeah, it's so, so important. So what's changed within the business when you moved to the software in 2019? How did the departments grow? So obviously you're now wearing a marketing hat as a CMO. What's happened to sales? How are those departments shifting now? So what does that look like as a business?
Yeah, the biggest change is that when you are a software company, you need a lot of developers who can write the code. 2019, we had one, our lead developer, and now we have a team of 10 to 15 developers, engineers who can write the code. So that's, of course, the biggest change. So basically, you need a new department to become a software business. At the same time, we had a very active sales organization already in 2016. We still have sales. We have been putting more effort on in marketing, and doing marketing scalable way all over the globe. I think that's the hiring and finding those good developers that has been the biggest change in our organization.
Yeah, and are they Finnish based? Because you guys are based in Finland, right?
Yeah, we are based in Finland. Right? Mostly Finnish based.
Yeah.
That's where our core functions are.
Nice. But
customers from 100 different countries at the moment.
Oh, really? Okay, so that's cool. So the increase in kind of marketing efforts for inbound marketing, where have you got any target markets that you're targeting? Where would you say that you're best suited, or the market's mature enough to kind of offer accept a service like this?
Yeah, I would say basically like any business who put a lot of resources or effort on their website, so they really want to generate something from their website, like demo meetings or like sales meetings or users or customers, whatever, like leads from their website, usually they are a good fit with our business. Of course, you need to have enough customers that you can, like, it makes sense to actually, let's say, automate your feedback collection or review collection, etc. If you only have 5 customers, then maybe you just do it manually. But that's maybe the one way to define like what is the good fit. You can be like any size of company. You can be small or medium size, or let's say small and medium size. They are like our focus at the moment. We have also some enterprise customers already, but you can basically be any size, because then we just have a different plans for different size of the company. So you can start with our free plan if you only want to show like social proof on your website, but then if you want to do more, then you can activate one of the paid plans.
So you said social proof there, and you mentioned trust before. What's the psychology of actually having someone else reaffirm or help you make decisions on that, right? So, because I remember back in the early days of the internet, things like reviews, having negative reviews was positive, right? So actually, because it made you believe in it. So having a 5-star review wasn't necessarily as the internet matured, it wasn't necessarily trustworthy. But I guess it's matured, the social proof has matured now to, you know, over 4.2 stars or 4.8, whether if you've that's your metric. But then if you add in things like the qualitative or the video testimonials, I guess that just gets even more, it resonates deeper, right? So yeah. So what is the psychology behind that? Why do we trust if we see someone else's.
Yeah, we just as human beings, we just want to make sure that if we are putting our money to something, we are getting what we are expecting to get. And then those who have actually experienced it already, those people are actually like our friends, our colleagues, those other customers are kind of the better source for information that, okay, can this company actually meet expectations or not? And yeah, I think the one good example is like, if you think about like how you have booked your hotels or how you have selected your restaurant or the movie, what you are going to watch next. Like nowadays, I think it's almost 100% we will make our decision based on reviews. So this phenomenon is actually moving across to other industries as well. And the need for tools to actually show what we actually can do for you as a customer. I think we are just following that trend basically with our tools. So
yeah, you're basically enabling people to jump aboard that trend. But what I think there's something, whether it's restaurants, whether it's businesses, whether it's services, reviews, is there a difference between expert reviews and customer reviews? So I just got me thinking of in the B2B space, you might have a G2 review of the platform, and then you have your customer reviews of what other people, actual users, right, and how they like it, which is kind of what G2 are doing there. But then you look at things like Rotten Tomatoes, so critic score and user score, right? So what's if the critic score is low but the user score is high, it typically means it's a good movie, whatever. But what's your take on that?
It kind of depends who you are. Like you want to, if you are an expert, you probably trust more on reviews of other experts. If you are just a random customer from some
average
little
joint,
then you most likely trust a review from a similar customer more than anything else. So you are actually, this is a really good point, like how well you can relate yourself to that person who is leaving a review is one of the key factors. You look at how effective that review is for you or for let's say a website visitor. So that's why back in the history, typically what businesses did, if you are serving, let's say, small businesses, and then you have a couple of enterprise customers. So typically what businesses did is that they added case studies of those enterprise customers, the big names, to their website, even though they are mostly focusing on small businesses, because everybody knows those big businesses, big companies or enterprises. But then actually how well those small customers can relate themselves to those big names, maybe not that well. I think that's the one thing is also changing. Like people are realizing that, there are a lot more than just the logo or big name in a customer review. The content, like the person itself, like the location, age, a lot of different factors. And the better you can match those with your prospective customer, then the better result usually is.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And, it just goes back to kind of the principles of a person to a person having a conversation, right? So it got me thinking about one of my earlier sales jobs. I used to do outdoor advertising, and I was all suited and booted, looked very dapper, and I went to a scrap metal merchant one of my key kind of points of anyone that's in outdoor advertising, certainly in the kind of micro space where you want to if you want to sell to in local regions. As soon as you get off the train, who's the local business that's everywhere? So it's usually a scrap metal merchant or a car salesman or real estate person, right? So their name is everywhere, known locally. So if you have a new way to advertise, they will buy it because they want to own all the space. Anyway, so in this place, in a little place called Luton, in just north of London, there's a scrap metal merchant, and I went there all suited to the boot, and like he was, we ended up doing a little deal, but I felt so awkward. And he said, once we kind of had our discussion about what he was going to buy, he's like, you know, don't wear a suit next time, Bruce. Just don't, you know. But yeah, if it wasn't for that, but that the mirroring aspect there, it doesn't yeah. work, right? So if you've got Apple, Microsoft, and Google on your website, but you're talking to SMEs, it's just not for me. It doesn't fit.
I had the exactly similar experience a few years ago when I was taking our business to US. So I was going to, like, it was really hard work in the beginning. Like, I just went to like fairs and different things to just talk with people and try to make deals with them. And then I went to farmers like fair. And then I was talking to those guys who were like farmers themselves, or they were kind of the selling to farmers, and then wearing my kind of almost suit or something.
Yeah.
And then I was just getting like weird looks that, okay, what is this guy? Like, totally differs from the audience, and then trying to come to talk with us, etc. So yeah, I had the similar experience years ago in the US.
Yeah.
Even talking a different like language with a different dialect. So yeah, that was I got some weird looks.
But it's all learning, right? So unless you've done it, I think you can there's a lot more lessons in the failures. You know, you can write, how many books are there on how to do things? I think you can make a lot more impact in the world if you wrote what not to do. There's certainly in a book of what not to do. So again, just coming back to you guys at Trustmary, in terms of the future, the roadmap, what does the roadmap look like for you guys? Obviously, you shifted to software as a service model. Is it team expansion? Is it features? Is it more integrations? What do you see as the kind of the roadmap for you guys?
Yeah, it's actually like we want to be the best in the world to help you to get like to collect and show on your website reviews that actually matter. So basically exactly what we have been talking about, like there is a lot of differences between, let's say, a 5-star review with a couple of words than 3-star review with a lot of text with other information, like meta information, like about the person itself and the location, etc. So we want to be a platform that help you to actually find those reviews that actually matter the most for your business, and then basically generate more leads, meetings, sales, whatever you want to generate from your website. That's like we are going that direction with our platform and developing like algorithms and that kind of things that you can get better results out of your review base, etc. Maybe that's the one thing we can mention here. We will be focusing on international market, like we already are working internationally, and that will be our future as well.
Nice. Yeah, I think it's very exciting. Certainly touching upon what we mentioned earlier about the whether it's industries or the more specific, the more relatable the review is to the customer, the more it means, and the deeper it goes, and the more they feel it. So if you can capture that data earlier and then plug it into your system to then, if someone's visiting your website that's from a certain industry, certain size of business, they can see certain. So that gets very, very cool very quickly. Talking about integrations, how does it, Trustmary and Pipedrive, so it's on the Pipedrive marketplace, how do they integrate?
Yes, so yeah, we have built a native integration. We published that a year ago. And basically, like any filter you can create in Pipedrive can be used as a trigger to do things with Trustmary. So basically, like you mark a deal done, you mark activity done, you will move a deal to certain states in your pipeline, like whatever, like there is like thousands of different ways how you can create filters in PipeDrive. And any of those filters can be used as a trigger to basically send a contact info to Trustmury. And then on Trustmury side, you can ask a review from that person. You can send a survey to that person. You can do a lot of different things. And yeah, automatically, basically. So yeah, in short, whatever type of filter can be used as a trigger, and then all the features in Trustmury can be launched basically based on that trigger.
And what would be a kind of example user journey there that you might give to kind of top level? So using PipeDrive and Trustmury, what would be a user journey with that integration?
Yeah, one of the most common ways is that, okay, you make a deal with your customer, then you want to collect feedback and review from that customer at a certain point. So then you just basically, we define a filter in PipeDrive that, okay, when this happens, then it will like activate the integration and the contact info and all the other info, what is needed, will be sent to Trustmury. And then on Trustmury side, we will collect the feedback, customer review from the customer, and then we push that information back to your PipeDrive CRM. So then you will have like up-to-date information in that customer profile in your CRM. That's like the one of the most typical examples how it is done. And then, every time you win a new deal, then this flow will happen automatically, and then you
Okay. So, yeah. Cool. So it can automatically put new leads or new people through that flow. Cool. And then it's got a two-way sync, and that, so it pushes data both ways.
Yes.
From PipeDrive to Trustmury, Trustmury to PipeDrive.
Yes.
Very cool. We'll be sure to have we've got a short demo to show you. Will that be in the descriptions below here? But I do recommend having a short 15-20 minute demo with the guys there to kind of go through your use case and give it a try yourself. Like I said, we started using it after our first call with them because it was so easy to use. So as we kind of we've touched upon Trustmury itself, how it integrates with PipeDrive, but what was the journey like for the business, and how did you end up starting Trustmury in the first place, right? So we touched upon, are you still with the same co-founders? What's the story there? And did anyone move on? What's the, and one thing that always comes to my mind, where does the name Trustmury come from?
Actually, like we have like sales, like strong sales and marketing background in our business, and how we actually started initially, it was the idea of our CEO, Johannes, and he was building websites in his previous life, and typically most difficult part of creating a good website was to get like authentic customer stories, reviews, testimonials to the website, and they were like really important. So that's like how the idea of okay, we need this kind of service that you can get them easily. And then that's how we started producing those videos first, and then basically developing the software platform. And we are still like our core team is almost the same still. I think we had five co-founders back then. Now we are still four of them are working with Trustmury. Then the name, we had a Finnish name in 2016, but then when we started going global and at the same time when we launched our software platform, then we had to figure out the new name. And the Trustmury was actually idea of one of our employees. So what we are doing with our business is always we are building trust. So that's where trust is coming from. And then when we are making a decision to buy something, those people who we actually trust the most are our colleagues, our friends, those other people we already know, or those other people we can relate ourselves. And then the Mary just happens to be one of the most common names in the world. So that's okay. Trust Mary, trust your colleagues, your friends, the people you can relate yourself when you are making a decision. So that's kind of the story.
So if you started in, I don't know, Tennessee, it might be trust Bob, trust Bob.
Yeah.
But trust Mary.
Trust Bruce, for example. Trust might be one.
There's not many Bruces, unfortunately. It's quite rare there's been two Bruces in a room. But when it does happen, we have fun together. It's always quite funny when someone finds out that there's another Bruce in the room. We always, whether it's a wedding, there's a moment where intergenerational Bruces come together. It's quite something. So. When it, again, find us a round of questions if that's okay. So if we go through, these are quick fire questions, but they can be long form answers, right? So in terms of trust, Mary, what's your favorite use case that you've seen someone use?
So from our customers, I think it's one of the like the real estate things, like having a feedback form and reviews for every real estate agent. Whenever they close a deal, then the feedback will be sent to them. And then you can have, like, they have usually a personal like web page. So then they can showcase those individual customer reviews on their personal web page. Like, okay, this is what my customers are saying about me. That's usually very like individual or person. Like specific business, you build a relationship like with some very agent. So yeah, I think like seeing how much value that brings, that's maybe one of the my favorite case examples.
Yeah, that's a really nice one. And top tips for those getting started, and for those looking to that are using some form of social proof, or whether it's trust mare or something else, and for them to really excel, right? So if we start with top tips for anyone just getting started with social proofing, what would you say there?
Don't be afraid of asking reviews from your customers. That's the number one tip. Typically, like we have had that question from our customer like thousands of times, that like our customers, they don't give us reviews. Okay, they don't give you reviews if you don't ask those. That's usually the case. And I don't remember a single case where they, like our customer, has actually failed with getting reviews from their customers. So always, if you ask, you will get something. Like, you need to have satisfied customers first, but most of the businesses that are alive, they have satisfied customers because they are not running business for very long if they don't have satisfied customers. But yeah, don't be afraid to ask those. And I don't know. Maybe second tip, you can have a pre-call with any of our experts to, it doesn't like tie you with anything. You can just get like a ton of tips in 15 minutes, like how you can get things moving. And I don't know, maybe those two.
Yeah, so I think for those looking to excel, speak with an expert over at the Trust Mary side, no obligations, but they might be able to give you an insight, a little more personalized insight into what you could do within your business. That's cool. So Artu, you guys are Pipedrive users, that's right, like internally you use Pipedrive, right?
For 6.5 years.
So amazing. So if you can remember, do you remember what the decision-making process was internally, why you chose Pipedrive in the first place? And what's keeping you on it? So what was that decision-making like in the first place?
Yes.
And then what's keeping you on it?
I think we started using Pipedrive because like 2016 when we started, the person who was responsible for like creating the sales organization and like selecting the tools what we are going to use, etc., he had used PipeDrive in his previous job. He had good experience with PipeDrive, so yeah, we just did the same thing for our business that they had been doing in his previous role. That's how we started with PipeDrive, and that the reason why we have been using PipeDrive, like I think there are many reasons. I think it's very like flexible. You can use it like many different ways. It's like for any person. I think it's super easy to use and manage and customize for your needs. Yeah, the price has been something that we have been kind of happy to pay. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. There are many reasons, and also so, like we have seen their like how much they have developed during the 6.5 years we have been using them. I think that it has been a huge improvement, like. Every month, so they are maybe bringing something, and
it's quite funny, right? So PipeDrive is 12 years old. So we are recording this November or December of 2022. So PipeDrive is 12 years old. The last 2 years, it's really grown up as a business in terms of development. You know, once they got their funding, and to your point, every 4 weeks now, it feels like there are new features or things rolling out to just make life a little bit easier.
Yeah,
but I'm just going to press a little bit more. So what departments are using it internally, and how do they use it?
Like what department is using PipeDrive in our business? Or okay, of course sales, that has been our CRM, and then at some point, like 2016, when we started video business, so we actually ran all of our video productions through PipeDrive as well. So we had we have done thousands of video projects through PipeDrive.
Very cool.
And then at some point we used it for customer success as well. But then now we are using like the dedicated platform for managing your customer success. Things, but yeah, I think now it's basically sales and marketing who are mostly using PipeDrive.
Yeah,
and then we are getting a lot of statistics, like overall statistics from the PipeDrive, and then of course we are using them everywhere in our business. But
very cool. No, thank you for sharing that. I found it just cool that you're on PipeDrive, so it's always nice to lean into that. Is there anything else? Anything you'd like to cover before we sign off today?
Yeah, maybe a little a gift for all your listeners. So I created a code. So yeah, first of all, if you want to like get help or get info or whatever, I'm also one of those persons who is actually taking those customer calls. So then most likely you will be meeting, or at least some of you will be meeting with me. And then it might be a good or a bad thing. It depends. Let's see. But but yeah. So I created a code PIPE30. So PIPE 30. So basically, it means you will get 30% discount for 12 months if you use the code by December 22nd. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's for all listeners. You can only get the code by listening this podcast, and yeah, so I think it's a pretty good deal. You can get 30% discount for a year, but yeah, that's yeah. Hopefully, I will see some of the listeners in a 15-minute call. So
yeah, very cool. No, that's and thank you for that. Very cool. So that code, we'll have it in the description below, but there's PIPE30. Get 30% off for 12 months. So very cool. So with that being said, that's it for this week. If you'd like to get a demo from the team, obviously we'll have the links in the description below. Thank you for listening to Evolve PipeDrive Podcast. We talk all things PipeDrive, sales, apps and PipeDrive Marketplace. I hope you've found this insightful. If you have, please consider sharing it with your colleagues or those on LinkedIn, and consider liking, subscribing, and giving Trustberry a go yourself. Arthur, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bruce. It was a pleasure to be here, and big thanks for inviting.